Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. You can always learn more about this thing called Ancient Future Faith or Epiclesis, the church, by going to our website. That website address is epiclesis.org. Fear not, I'll spell it for you, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. By the way, Epiclesis is a Greek word, and, well, I'm not going to tell you exactly what it means. You go to the website and check that out, would you? Each week on this program, brought to you by Epiclesis and presented here on KFIA Radio, I love to bring you a wide variety of guests to talk about this thing called ancient future faith. And today, I'm very honored to have a friend and a partner in this thing called ancient future faith with us right here in the studio, Dr. Glenn Collard. Hi, Glenn. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
It's always nice to have you in our neck of the woods. You normally hail from Charlotte, North Carolina, right? That's where you're living now.
That's correct, yes.
And Glenn, you've spent a life in music and the arts and worship and so on, but now, after several years of working in Europe, and we can talk about that if you want to, you're heading up a ministry effort called Coram Deo. Before we get to that, though, tell us, please, everything we need to know about Glenn Collard and so we could get to know you a little bit better. This is your second time here, by the way, so people could listen to that interview, but maybe they didn't hear that. I want to have them learn more about you now.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. Well, where do I begin? When you've been around the earth for a long time, it's hard to shorten a story, but my wife and I have been married 51 and a half years.
Hey, congratulations.
We have three great kids. Our oldest is with the Lord. The other two kids have their own families. They are doing well. They are following the Lord. And that's a great thing for a parent to see his children walking, as John says, to see his children walking in faith. Mm-hmm. We have five granddaughters, and as you said, we live in Charlotte, North Carolina currently.
But now you used to live here, right? You're from this neck of the woods originally.
Yes, that's true. We are from California, and although we haven't lived here since 1990, we still consider ourselves Californians. If you ask me where I'm from, that's what I would say. Our families, both my wife's side and my side of the family, are still all in California. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Well, clearly you must move back. That's just all there is to it.
Well, as the Lord wills.
Now, it is in California that we have some connections, and that's how I met you. In our church is someone who used to be your accompanist back when you were a high school choral teacher.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. In my first life, I was in education, and music was my teaching field. And when I was teaching high school music, the person that Chris is referring to was the pianist for our high school choir, and I've known her for a long time. She is now a grandmother,
and she's the keyboardist at Epiclesis.
Yes, she is, and she's a sweet person.
She sure is. Glenn, how long did you do education in school system?
Well, I suppose basically we can think in 10 years, and then the Lord moved us into pastoral ministry.
Right.
And this was also in combination all of those times with working in Christian schools. I've been in Christian schools in my early life. Started three different schools.
Wow, I didn't know that. Hold on,
Mm-hmm.
Let's camp out there a second. You started three schools?
Yes.
Oh, I had no idea.
Right.
And then ministry, right? Pastoral ministry?
Right, correct. Went into pastoral ministry. And from that, the Lord moved us directly toward missions. And that becomes a little more complicated story.
Yeah, well, I do want to talk about that just in a second. Let me do remind people, though, they're listening to an interview with Dr. Glenn Collard, a friend and colleague. He's part of the Ancient Future Faith Network, which I hope we can touch on in just a moment. Been in, music and pastoral ministry and missions and all kinds of things for a long, long time. And he's in town with his wife, Diane, to spend some time with us at Epiclesis and do some other things. Glenn, you were telling your story story and got up to the point where you were talking about missions. How in the world did you get into missions?
Well, I was pastoring a church in Moraga, California, and I was in my church study one day, and I had someone knock on the door. I went to the door and met a man from Ghana, and he was literally going through the yellow pages. In those days, they used yellow pages. He was going through the yellow pages, contacting all the churches in the area that he could, and he was looking for someone to go with him to Ghana to help him establish a training facility and institute for church planters and young preachers. He wanted to do church planting in the bush country of Ghana, and he found out about my education background, and he really focused in on me. And so as a result of that, we went on our first short-term mission. Diane and I had not been on a short-term mission prior to that point, and so we went to Ghana, which actually preceded, on a two-week trip, we first made a stop in Egypt and then to Ghana, West Africa. Mm-hmm. And the Lord used that experience in our lives to move us in the area of missions. Although we did not stay and commit to work with him, it just wasn't where the God was leading us. But we did find ourselves in missions, and ultimately we're working behind the Iron Curtain, and that all eventually changed. And then we moved to Europe and worked with under Greater Europe Mission for many years. We lived in Europe 14 years before we came back to the United States and settled in Charlotte.
Okay, so the thing with Ghana wasn't exactly where you ended up and landed, but it was a sort of an open door. It was the door that God led you through to do missions.
Yes.
I also did not know about the Iron Curtain angle. Want to talk about that just a second? You spent some time behind the Iron Curtain during the years of the Soviet Union, I assume.
Yes.
What were you doing?
We were actually delivering Bibles, smuggling Bibles into Eastern Europe.
Wow.
and doing training conferences.
I learned so much about you every time we get together.
Yeah. There are some interesting stories about all that.
But I don't doubt
time
it.
Is not good enough this morning to do that.
Smuggling Bibles behind the Iron Curtain. And then comes the fall of the Soviet Union and 1989, and the wall comes down and so on. But I assume by this time you have developed a heart for Europe.
Oh, yes.
And you stepped into, what was the mission organization again?
Greater Europe Mission was that. That was early years, yes.
Yeah. And what were you doing for them?
I was the regional director for Southeastern Europe. That was the title that I had, which meant that I was responsible to oversee the ministries of Greater Europe Mission, our missionaries in that area, and our connection with Europeans in churches throughout Southeastern Europe, which is the Balkans, from Hungary, Romania, the former Yugoslavia, which is now in five countries, Bulgaria, Albania, and Greece, that whole area.
And was your focus to raise up local folks to do the ministry, or was it at that time bringing in missionaries from the outside into those countries?
Well, it was a little of both. Uh-huh. My particular focus and direction, though, was always geared toward raising up leaders in Eastern Europe, and particularly in the area of church planting and biblical leadership development. So I had the privilege of helping to establish some schools and training facilities in Eastern Europe, both in Romania, and I was one of the co-founders of the Albania Bible Institute, which I had the opportunity to visit last October.
Really?
Yes. So,
isn't that nifty?
Yeah.
And just like God, that he gives us these wonderful experiences or trains us and then uses it again and again.
Exactly. And again. Right. And it was my missions career, if I can say it that way, that I was able to incorporate all of my years of education and pastoral ministry and music into one cohesive whole.
Sometimes I tell people that if they really want to see clearly how God is working in their life, is to turn around and look backwards and see how he has led them stepping stone from stepping stone to a particular place.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Glenn Collard. He's a friend and colleague. He's a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network. He's, as you could tell, gone a lot of places and done a lot of things, and he is now heading up a ministry called Coram Deo. I definitely want to get to that, Glenn, so that people can learn more about it and see what you're doing and how to support you if they want to do that. But you're living in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it is in Charlotte that you established yet another ministry. We didn't have a word for it at that time. But in your capacity as a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network, and I do also want to talk about the award that you received last June, you began, as you do because you're a winsome, lovable guy, to bring people around you who are interested in this thing called Ancient Future Faith. And tell us about how that little group got started and how God led you to create what eventually became the very first cloister of the Ancient Future Faith Network.
Right. Well, it was 2 years ago this month, in fact, that we began trying to formalize a vision in my own heart for a ministry that would focus on renewal of worship for churches in today's contemporary church that would incorporate the practice of the ancient and early church and bring that forward into today's culture. So it's the resurgence of historic, authentic worship in today's church that we are most interested in. And the cloister that you're referring to is a part of that whole idea. And it was pretty much this time 2 years ago that I began some informal meetings with some people who were interested in the Ancient Future Faith movement and being part of the network. And so as we started to meet over the next several months, we began to pick up momentum, and it became an established focus to call the ministry of our informal fellowship time a cloister. And we started focusing in on the practice of the early church as we were meeting each month. We would meet, we still are meeting the second Thursday of every month. And so currently we have 7 different denominations who are represented in our cloister.
Great.
And we're never quite sure who's going to show up for the day. It depends on what's happening in their schedule.
Sure.
But because we're working with leaders, pastors, and worship leaders of churches, and some lay people who are part of the cloister. And it has been a very deep and rich and meaningful experience. We've had some really, really interesting presentations. And typically we come together for fellowship for a few minutes, we have a worship time together, and then we break into a session where for that particular month, a presentation from someone of some aspect of the worship of the early church or church history, that sort of thing. And it has been very, very meaningful.
The Ancient Future Faith Network, so appreciated and knocked out really by the work that you, groundbreaking work that you did and are doing, Glenn, that we established a Robert Webber Award that we want to give away each year to people who are championing ancient future principles and working hard in their neck of the woods to promote the ancient future theology. And you were the first ever recipient, and we just surprised the shnikey out of you, didn't you?
Yes, you did. I was very surprised.
That was so much fun to keep that a secret and then give that to you that day.
Well, I was humbled. I was surprised. I felt a little undeserving of such recognition, but I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
We should mention that if you want to learn more about the Ancient Future Faith Network, you should zip over to that website. It's Ancient Future Faith Network, all one long word, ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org. And if you go to the latest news area, I believe that we still have a picture of me presenting that award to Glenn. You can take a look at it there. And we should also say that cloisters are springing up across the country. We've just recently had the launch of a Kentucky cloister. They've had 2 or 3 meetings now. We're working on one in the Portland area. There's one in Sacramento already of sorts, and another one springing up, we're hoping, just to the north of Sacramento in Lincoln. And then I just had an application the other day for someone in Knoxville, Tennessee, my hometown, to start a cloister there. So Glenn, it's picking up, and we're grateful to the Lord for what you did to help get that going. In our remaining moments with Dr. Glenn Collard, I want him to have the opportunity to talk about his heart for ministry and for the organization he established called Cora Deo. Glenn, what in the world does that mean, and why did you establish it? And tell us what we need to know about Coram Deo.
Coram Deo is a Latin phrase that means before the face of God or in the presence of God. 2 years ago, when my wife and I were sitting in our den at home, we were contemplating the future and how the shape of a vision was taking taking place in my own mind and heart. And oddly, I mean, it seems odd to me, but of course the Lord does things that we humans think are odd sometimes.
Sure,
and that
course.
Is, all of a sudden, this phrase popped into my mind. Now, it's not a phrase that I had been using. It wasn't a common phrase in my normal daily lectionary. Lexicon. So I was thinking on that phrase, and I thought, well, that really kind of incorporates pretty much everything because of the vision that God had called me to, because it's a way of governing my own normal life, of living in the presence of God on a daily basis and being missional, of working out that presence as God works that presence out through me in the world in which I live and opportunities that He gives me. And so that became the focus for our ministry and my particular ministry. And it is currently now, Coram Deo is part of the mission sending agency of Artists in Christian Testimony International.
Okay, I want to talk about that in just a second, but could I just pause and say how much I appreciate the twofold nature of what you're saying about Coram Deo. It's not only, if I'm understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not only just being in the presence of God and standing before the face of God, which is a marvelous thing, but you said it's also necessarily connected to the missional aspect of going forth into the world to love and serve the Lord. That's beautiful.
You got that right. Exactly. In fact, you know, in the early church practice of, as the church would come together in their worships, times corporate worship, they had the gathering, then the presentation of the word and the table, and ultimately the sending. The sending is the reason for everything else that should have taken place in worship.
Absolutely.
And if worship is only for me and what good I get out of it, then I've missed the point of the whole thing. And my reference would be back to the vision of Isaiah in chapter 6, where after he had had this astounding worship experience, Isaiah heard God saying, "Whom shall go for us, and whom shall we send?" And Isaiah, I can imagine, raises his hand and says, "Here am I, Lord, send me."
Me.
Yes, that's the sending part, and that's the part that is often overlooked or underplayed, shall I say, in worship itself. So that's what I'm saying. Yes, it's both those things. One cannot go if one hasn't truly worshiped.
Yeah,
but one can worship and not go. And then you have missed part of what God has called us to, because He has given us the privilege of participating in His program, which is a reclamation of His creation.
Indeed.
He's reclaiming His creation.
Oh, and you're preaching now, brother.
So that's what I believe, and yes, that's the part of the ministry of Coram Deo.
I forget which theologian it was who said that the reason we have to invent mission programs and schemes is because we truly haven't worshiped.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And if we really did, we would be going forth into the world like Isaiah saying, me.
Right.
I tell the folks at Epiclesis when we get down to the sending at the end, I said, this is the best part of the whole service. And it's not because we're just going home, but we're being sent forth to love and serve
the
Lord.
That's right. Ambassadors.
And so the ministry of Coram Deo was established. What kinds of things are you doing there in that ministry?
Well, the cloister is the main focus at this point of time. I do a lot of meeting with pastors and leaders individually. I consider myself a champion of their cause, and I want to come alongside them and underneath them to help lift them up. You know, pastors and worship leaders, church leaders, are often very lonely people, because even though they're among many people all the time, there still is a sense in which they are pretty much on their own. And so I am very interested in helping and to encourage and motivate. And so I'm spending a lot of time working with people that way.
You know, it once again occurs to me how God has used every one of these circumstances and positions and journeys and travels and all these other things in your life to bring you to such a time as this, Glenn. I can't think of anybody more qualified to come along beside a worship guy or gal or a mm-hmm. pastor and say, hey, I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know what it is to be lonely, or I know what it's like on the mission field. And I think you're uniquely qualified to do that.
Well, thank you. I recognize that after 51 plus years of ministry, the Lord has brought me to a place in life and ministry where my responsibility, as I see it, is to come alongside those who are younger than I and to help them and lend my aid to them and experience to them in whatever way may be helpful. So I see that as a responsibility, a stewardship, let's say, of my time in life.
Now, you said that Coram Deo is operating under the umbrella of Artist and Christian Testimony International,
mm-hmm.
right? Talk a little bit about that relationship, and then I want to make sure that people get the web address and they can learn more about how to find out more about your ministry and support you and support your ministry. So talk mm-hmm. a little bit about how that relationship works, and then mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit about Coram Deo.
Artist and Christian Testimony International is a sending agency, a mission sending agency. The majority of the people who are missionaries with ACTI are people who are involved in the arts, but one of the aspects, areas of ministry within ACTI is what they call innovative ministries.
Mm.
And I fall under that category because
I'll say
innovating ministry that really ties the church and the development of leadership of what I'm trying to do to the arts. And so there is a very close connection of those two and how they work. Anyone who wants to be part of the support of the development of that ministry can go to Artist and Christian Testimony International.org, and you will find a lot of helpful information about the mission, and you would be able to find me.
Well, and is that the way we can support you and learn more about you, or shall we go mm-hmm. to Coram Deo website?
No, in terms of giving, you should go to the Artist and Christian Testimony International website.
And from there, mm-hmm. we find Coram Deo.
Yes.
And people can learn more about that ministry and
yes.
support you financially by going to that particular website, yes?
Yes. And my own website of Coram Deo International is .com. CoramDeoInternational.com is the address of my website that defines Coram Deo a little bit more than what we've said here.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want to encourage you folks to do both those things. Go to the website Artist in Christian Testimony International, learn more about them and how to support Glenn there, and then unpack a little more what we did not have time in this short interview to get to about Coram Deo and Glenn's heart. That's the main thing, though. That's the main message, folks, I want you to get from Glenn. What a privilege, Glenn Collard, to have you with me in the studio mm-hmm. and to learn more about your heart for worship and about Christ Church and the wonderful way you're encouraging people whose job it is to lead others. Thank you so much
for
coming.
Thank you. I appreciate being here, Chris.
Yeah, always a delight. Glad you're in town. Folks, you've just been listening to another episode of Ancient Future Faith brought to you by Epiclesis. And until we gather again for another episode, I want you to be thinking about this. Surely the road to our Christian future runs through our ancient Christian past. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Pastor Chris here with a quick question before you go. Do you think you might like to attend a simple candlelit Ash Wednesday service? I want to invite you to a beautiful evening of quiet contemplation on Ash Wednesday night, March 1st at 7 p.m. The service will feature music, scripture, and the Lord's table, and it's a great opportunity to see what ancient future Christian worship at Epiclesis looks like. Find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.